This Eric in the Morning podcast is brought to you by ComEd. ComEd safety is ComEd's number one priority. To find tips about electric safety for your home and family, visit ComEd.com/safety. ComEd powering lives. All right, let's get to, hey, I was wondering, and see if we can get a few things figured out around here this morning. If you have a hey, I was wondering question, you want to get it to us, please do so. You can email it, you can text it, 60123. You can send it to us on social media. Anyway, at all, we use it. You get one of those Eric in the Morning travel mugs. So this will work nicely for him because his name is Eric, so he can claim that it's actually his radio show.
Oh.
Hey, I was wondering from Eric. It says, hi, Eric, it's Eric. How are you? I live in Geneva and have since the 70s. And in the morning, I often make a trip to the great coffee shop in Elburn called the Corner Grind.
Do you know it?
I do not know the Corner Grind, but I'm not in Elburn for coffee a lot. I'm usually sitting here.
True.
But if I was available for coffee, I would go there to the Corner Grind. Lately, as I drive out there, 101.9 The Wolf steps all over your signal.
What?
I did some checking and saw it's in Springfield. Was wondering if you're hearing this from others. It's not often, but today it was really bad, that being yesterday. I know you're familiar with the area, which is a long way from Springfield. Don't you find this odd that your signal's getting overrun by 101.9 The Wolf?
Yeah.
All your country favorites down in Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah, their signal shouldn't be...
I don't know.
Go any further than ours, right?
This is one of those things that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
We'll drive Captain Hollywood crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The Mix program director. There will be 7 Zoom meetings about this today.
Just today.
Them lasting at least 45 minutes.
No doubt.
For 7 Zoom meetings. Kent the engineer will be in 4 of them, and he'll just keep saying, it's the atmosphere. That's all he'll say. When all else fails, we just blame the atmosphere, and we move on.
He does talk like that.
Right. Down there in Springfield at 101.9 The Wolf, they could be cranking up the wattage in their cottage down there.
Obviously.
Cranking that signal up and just powering through, just overpowering us out there in the far, far western suburbs.
Man.
But... it's just the atmosphere.
Well, and we have been playing so much more country with the Tiger Wolves, or the Tiger King.
Right. Top 3 things that everybody in the world seems to love, but you can't stand. What are they? Bruno Mars, French fries, Shallow, and what? Bridget.
Lizzo.
Lizzo.
I have one friend that's like that. Yeah. One friend.
Yeah. I think Lizzo, as great as she's been to us, is an acquired taste initially.
Yeah.
And then once you get on board, you're generally okay, but you never were able to get on board, huh?
No, I just couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it. Could not do it. Got it. Understood. I'm with you. Also, agree with you on this. Dave, the whole world loves it. You don't get it.
Hey, good morning, guys. I have never watched 1 second of The Walking Dead.
Do you think it's fair to say that you hate it if you've never seen it?
I wouldn't say I hated it because I have never seen it, but I have zero interest in even, you know.
I get that.
That counts.
Yeah, I get that.
That's not your type of show.
I totally get that. All right, thank you for that. You say everybody loves her, but not you, Keegan.
Britney Spears, never see why she was so big.
Yeah. Toxic, womanizer, who cares?
Right. Yeah. All right. I love that.
I'm with you. Thank you, Keegan. Look at you see the face Violetta's making right now.
Wow.
Don't worry, we're going to get into at what temperature water freezes coming up. Don't worry, that's coming back.
We'll solve that mystery?
Well, we're circling back on that one, don't worry.
Okay,
that's coming back. Hi, at number 3, never really got it, the rest of the world seems to, John.
21 Pilots. I can't stand them.
21 Pilots.
I actually get that. I mean, even when we were playing some of their songs, even people in here would be like, that song, like, skeeves me out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I
think that's more of a, I'm supposed to like 21 Pilots because they're edgy.
Yeah.
When you just listen to them for what they're like, I don't get it.
Right.
At number 2, everybody seems to love it, but not you, Jill.
Patchouli oil.
Ooh, boy. Fragrant and aromatic.
I did not see that one coming.
I did not know patchouli oil was universally loved. And finally, in at number 1, the world loves it, but no thanks, Bill.
Mac and cheese.
Oh, my gosh. Cannot stand mac and cheese.
Oh, my. What is wrong?
What kind of communist are you?
Yeah, what planet did you really come from?
Wow.
Just don't like it.
Wow.
Serious? Like, do you like cheese?
Pardon me?
Do you like cheese?
I like cheese, but I don't like mac and cheese.
I don't. Oh.
Have you tried all kinds? You've been down every mac and cheese road and never found anything that suited you?
You better believe it.
All right.
You have a bad experience with it at some point, like you choked on a noodle?
Yeah, probably. What do we have for Bill, who hates mac and cheese? Standard tipping-wise for your food deliveries, your Grubhubs, your DoorDashes, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I'm going to go 20% because that's what you would do in a restaurant. You can't go to a restaurant.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Under normal circumstances, the general recommendation is to tip anywhere from 10 to 20% on food delivery orders, but not less than $3 to $5 even on small orders. Right now, consider tipping at the very least 20% or more if you can, says the finance editor at MarketWatch. All right, how about grocery deliveries? By the way, do you guys get grocery deliveries?
Yeah.
I can't get it anymore.
Right. Right. Do you do Whip?
We have gotten them, yeah. I've done the pickup of the groceries, but we also get the deliveries.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Experts say that you should give at least a 10% tip in normal circumstances and perhaps increase that to 15 to 20% during the pandemic as it continues on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Have we determined how long have we been in this now? I honestly, seriously, can't keep track of how long it's been and can't keep track of what day it is anymore.
Honestly, I thought we were close to like 3 weeks. I don't know the exact day, but I know we're close to that, aren't we?
See, and I would have thought we were way past that, but you're probably right.
Three?
Something like that. They say these are tips from someone who has survived his own personal self-quarantine for 50 years. Tips from a guy named Billy Barr, who has nearly 50 years of social distancing experience.
Mm-hmm. What?
Billy Barr's been doing it for 50 years. He's the only full-time resident of Gothic, Colorado. I'm the mayor and the chief of police. I hold elections every year, but I don't tell anybody when they are, so it works out really well for me. He lives in an abandoned silver mine at nearly 10,000 feet altitude in the Rocky Mountains and is the only one who lives there and has for 50 years.
You know
this guy is not right.
Oh, definitely. But don't you want to know what it looks like in there? Like,
I think it probably looks like a silver mine in the mountains of Colorado. I don't think he's got a flat screen on the wall.
No.
And has had his house done by Walter E. Smith.
And
I don't think that's happened.
Doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
No, but it's like you wonder, what
Listen
is he using
Violetta.
For chairs?
How does he live without Wi-Fi?
Exactly.
Seriously, how does he post what he's having for lunch on Instagram?
Spam, yeah. Probably.
Here are the keys, Billy Barr says, who lives in the abandoned silver mine, to living alone for nearly 50 years of social distancing. Number one, you've got to keep track of something, which proves the issues I'm having. I can't keep track of what day it is.
Yeah, yeah. They were doing that in Life of Pi, too, that movie where he lives on a boat by himself.
True. I got to get some shoes.
By the way,
does that have to do with Billy Barr living in a silver mine?
Well, because he was taking tallies of what day it was.
Oh, got it. Each day, Barr tracks the weather for a number of groups, including the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. He started measuring snow levels in the 1970s. Everything depends on the weather where I live. It controls what I do, so I write it all down. So every day, he keeps track of the weather. Got to keep track of something every day. Mm. Number two, if you've been socially distancing for 50 years, keep a routine.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's good.
Very important. Barr starts early. He wakes up between 3:30 and 4 in the morning and stays in bed until 5 in his silver mine in the mountains of Colorado.
Wait, you mean he wakes up at 3:30 but lays there till 5?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Up until a week or two ago, I would listen to the news every morning on my AM radio. See, there you go. Somebody was listening to the AM.
I knew there was one guy.
One guy in a silver mine in Colorado still listening to AM radio. I would listen to the news every morning so I could start every day either totally depressed or furious. That's always a good way to start the day.
Is he serious?
He is, because listen, just stay with me. Number three on the tips. Celebrate the stuff that matters rather than the stuff you're supposed to celebrate. That's his advice.
I sort of get that.
Like what?
Barr has mostly ditched holidays and birthdays, but he does celebrate January 17th when the sunrise goes back to what it was on the solstice. That's how he keeps track of things there. To me, that's a big deal because I get up so early in the morning that the lighter it gets earlier, it makes my day a lot easier. He also celebrates when he gets back from skiing 8 miles each way into town to get supplies.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And finally, his final tip for someone who with nearly 50 years of social distancing, embrace the grumpiness. My kind of guy.
Definitely.
Sometimes, Barr says, it's kind of satisfying to be grumpy about everything.
It kind of is when you are like that.
Yeah, he's living in a silver mine in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Melissa with our top three things trending on Twitter here in the great city of Chicago at number three.
All right. So if you want to give a unique chocolate Easter bunny this year. Look no further than an Oregon chocolatier who's making solid chocolate bunnies wearing COVID-19 masks.
See, timely.
Yeah, very.
Isn't it? So Twitter went absolutely crazy and people were buying them up. The owner, Jeff Shepard, he owns this company, Little Bell Farms. He's the creator of the COVID bunny, which are solid chocolate made of milk, dark and white chocolate, and are about 4 inches tall. So if you want to get yours, just Google that and you'll be able to find it.
Solid chocolate bunny at number 3. At number 2.
Yes. So one of America's most popular comedies came to an end yesterday, Modern Family. Finished with 250 episodes across 11 series. Wednesday's 2-hour...
11 seasons.
Seasons.
Yeah, you said 11 series.
Is that not okay? I guess it wouldn't be that. It would be seasons.
They'd be a season.
Seasons. You're correct. I don't know why I wrote series. Okay. So Wednesday's 2-hour finale on ABC began with a documentary and concluded with a 2-part episode. So back in the day, you know, the show had huge success since it debuted in 2009. However, viewing figures have dropped in recent years as streaming services became more popular, of course. Tons of people took to Twitter, though, to bid farewell.
I watched the first hour of that, which was all the behind-the-scenes stuff and interviews, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge Modern Family fan. Like, I haven't watched it in 5 or 6 years,
right,
probably.
People trailed off.
But it was interesting to watch. And then I left when the show actually started. Because I knew they were going to get all emotional.
Oh,
you can't handle that.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that.
Yep.
They've been around a long time.
They have been. And Jesse Tyler Ferguson, often a guest on this show.
He has been.
Really good to us and kind to us.
Mm-hmm.
Trending on Twitter, number 1.
All right. So Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, I don't know if you saw this. They were targeted by trolls who were directing a website for their new Archwell charity to a video of Kanye West's gold digger.
Oh.
So basically, if you were to type in archwellfoundation.com, you're diverted to a YouTube video of Kanye West's 2005 hit that featured Jamie Foxx. And apparently, I guess the royal couple failed to register the domain name.
So you were directed to that song?
Yes,
that
on YouTube.
As a message probably for Meghan Markle.
I think that's probably what they were going with. Astute analysis. Way to go. Thank you. There it is. A new survey by Gallup reveals that 80% of people say their lives have been disrupted by the coronavirus. You think? That means 20% are like, no, not really. Life's pretty standard, pretty usual. Anybody listening who now, there's a general theme from all these calls. So I'm gonna talk to these people, but press them a little bit. All right?
Okay.
Let's see if we can press you a little bit. Hi, Susan.
Good morning. Good morning.
So you're in the 20% that says coronavirus has not disrupted your life at all.
At all. We are very, very blessed. We get up at 5:30 in the morning. I take my husband to work. I go to work. My son is in the fast food industry, so we're all working and doing exactly the same thing.
So your life hasn't changed at all. Now, I get it from a work perspective because, you know, we're coming to work every day. But the difference is, I don't know if it is for you, Susan, I go home and then stare at the walls for about 18 hours. Like, no sports. You know, I don't have any sports to watch. I cannot watch the Headline News Network any longer. I'm losing my mind. None of that affects you guys?
No, we are actually gamers. So we get on the computer, and we're gamers. We do World of Warcraft.
You know what? Yeah. It's interesting that you say that you are gamers because they say this is a tremendous environment for gamers.
Oh, my God.
More on that coming up in a second. Kevin, you're in the 20%. Life has not changed. Hello, Kevin.
Oh, hello, Eric. How are you? Good morning.
Great. Life has not changed.
No, not really. I mean, we do landscaping right now for the village of Rosemont.
Okay.
Public Works.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get up every morning.
Yeah.
We go to work every day, go home.
Right.
I usually do stuff around the house.
Right.
Don't really watch TV.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
My wife turns it on now and then, and I've actually been busier than I am when I'm not during this. My wife's working in the restaurant. I've been going volunteering over there.
So if nobody told you this coronavirus the pandemic was happening and you weren't paying any attention, you might not even notice.
I mean, when I go to the grocery store,
like,
I notice
why is everybody
that
a mask?
Not as busy.
Yeah. What happened over here?
The only way I notice, Eric, is a lot of masks. I can't get any toilet paper. Beyond that, I'd never know.
Wow.
Sarah, life has not changed for you at all.
No, not at all. I'm a hospital pharmacist. My husband, a union pipe fitter. We're actually working more now
than we were when this before this all started.
Right.
Well, what about, did you guys ever used to go, you know, out to dinner or, you know, have friends over? How is all that now?
Well, that's different because our anniversary is actually Saturday and I actually have to cook dinner. And I'm upset because my husband says I have to cook it and not him. And
right.
We have steak and lobster, but he's
you
not got to
do
help.
It. It's in the rules.
Yeah, that's the rules. I have to cook dinner. But other than that, I mean, we're so exhausted from all the work we're doing that we go home and we go to sleep. We have watched some classics like Coneheads, Night at the Roxbury.
That's classic.
We use the term classics really loosely right there. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Life really hasn't changed very much, huh, Annie?
Well, I'm talking about my husband. He still goes to work, company of five people.
Right.
Comes home to his family every night, and I tell my friends he's been social distancing for years. He's got it down.
Yeah. This is just, we're actually catching up to what he's doing now.
Welcome to Lily's Bake Sale. Today we're offering the red velvet cupcakes that Mrs. Johnson next door called breathtaking. Cash, credit, or online payment accepted.
Just like Lily, ComEd provides multiple payment options.
Need a gluten-free or vegan? Just ask our staff.
I'm not your staff, I'm your brother.
Choose the payment option that works best for you. Auto pay, online, phone, mail, or in person. Visit ComEd.com/pay. ComEd, powering lives.
One order of gluten-free cupcakes coming right up.
Lady Gaga wants to have babies. Another big singing star wants to have babies, too.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you who that is here in just a second. As it turns out, Americans with kids say what age is the most difficult age to parent? What do you think, Whip?
What age? Of the kid or the parent?
Hurry on. It's about 20 after. What age of the kid?
Of the kid. Okay. I'm going to go with two.
Two. All right, Melissa.
I haven't quite been there yet, but I'm going to guess like 16.
Oh, what do you think, Violetta, as somebody who hasn't even thought about it?
25.
25 is the hardest age. What age is the most difficult age for the kid, Patty?
12.
12. No, too old.
Okay.
Too,
too
old.
All right.
Dang it.
Too old. Kids are tougher when they're younger.
Yeah, yeah.
At what age is the kid the most difficult to deal with, Ariel?
8 years old.
Exactly right. The age of eight is the brutal age.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go with it.
You don't agree, obviously.
No, I just have not found that, but that's just me.
Americans with kids say the age of eight is the most difficult age to parent. Well done. How's your morning going, Ariel?
Pretty good. I'm a little tired on my way to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. Same thing, a little tired. I'm tired. Here for this right now. How old's your son, Melissa?
He's nine.
You're fine now. Okay. Forget the terrible twos and prepare for the hateful eights, they call it. Parents have named the age of eight as the most difficult age to parent, according to new research. Eight being the troublesome year likely comes as a surprise to many parents, especially since parents polled found age six to be easier than they expected. So they thought when they returned six, all right, this is going to be brutal, and it wasn't so bad.
Well, you can at least send them to preschool.
That's right.
Six is a little past preschool.
Oh.
I would say, just let her go.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Let it go. We're going to get into that and at what temperature water freezes with Violetta a little bit later on.
Oh,
she's
no.
A lesson you might
46.
Learn in preschool.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch.
The age of eight, six is what everybody thought it would be.
Ow! What did you eat at the gas station? Let's talk about your favorite libation. There's no need for frustration during this deep conversation.
Ah! Damn. You don't go, you know what I'd like? Here's what I'd like you to do with me. Here's what I'd like. It can be anything.
Anything. Like you said,
like right
diving.
Now,
Whip.
Yeah. If you were sitting in your family room right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mrs. Whip says, what's the one thing you'd like to do with me? Well, the one thing you'd like to try? The one experience you'd like to have?
Yeah, besides anything weird.
Anything.
Yeah. You know, maybe I could try gardening for the first time ever, because I don't think I've ever even planted a single thing in my life.
No, wait. She's asking you the question.
It's the first time for her.
No. I'll ask you the question.
Maybe I'm confused.
Pretend I'm your wife right now.
Hello. Hello, dear.
Hey, a Whip.
Oh, gosh.
What's the one experience you'd love to try with me?
With me for the first time.
So you'd like it. Like,
yeah.
I'd like you to go with me to every one of the baseball stadiums in the country.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
That's what you'd want.
Yeah. Let's go fly our drone over a forest preserve and take video. I don't know.
You've been listening,
wow.
too. No, hold on.
That's a good one.
All right. All right. You know what? You've answered my question for me. This is the hardest question
ever. It apparently is.
Hi. What's the one thing? Hi there, Ellen. If your significant other said to you, what's the one new experience you'd love to try with me? You would tell them you'd like to try what?
I'd like to go in a hot air balloon.
A hot air balloon together.
Ooh.
I'd like for the two of the perfect answer there.
That seems romantic.
I'd love for the two of us to go on a hot air balloon.
That's a good one.
Ride.
It's kind
of
like the drone.
There you go. Sort of. Valerie.
Except you're there.
Your significant other says to you, what's the one thing you'd like to experience? You would answer?
I want to go for a couple's massage, but he won't because he says his back is too hairy.
There we go.
Aww.
I would love for the two of us to have a couple's
massage. They've seen hairy backs before.
There we go. Steven, she says to you, he says to you, the one thing I'd like to experience, you answer, your answer would be what?
Skydiving. But the problem is she's afraid of heights and wouldn't go ziplining down in Brazil with me.
See, there you go. But you'd like her to. You'd like your significant other, Susan, to do what with you? Susan.
Hi, that's me. Yeah, I'd like to go scuba diving. I've already done the skydiving, so I'd like to
scuba diving. There you go. Hot air balloons, couples massages, skydiving, scuba diving, or you got a grand prize winner, John. She says to you, what's the one new experience you'd love to try with me? Your answer would be?
Separate vacation.
All right. I'd really like us to try to vacation separately.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
That really redefines with me.
I'm with you.
Okay, you deserve that.
Yeah,
you deserve
I'd like the
prize.
Two of us to go to completely opposite ends of the world.
Maybe she'd want that,
yeah,
too.
Nicely done. Tom Brady and his wife, Giselle, they're fighting. They had a little problem. They had to have a family meeting. There was an intervention. Tom's not doing enough. What's Tom do? Well, he says, well, I'm Tom Brady, so I'm going to Tampa. Sorry. What is your current COVID fight? 312-233-1019. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
You're having it out in your house about what?
He's putting the recycling in the regular garbage can.
Yeah, that, we can't have that.
Yeah, right.
No, we can't have that.
There's
no.
Got to be some house rules.
No, yep. No. So so you had to set the record straight on that one?
Yeah, you know what I did? I threw him right back into the sink, and he said, what's all this garbage in the sink? I said, that's what you put in the recycling bin.
Oh, wow. Right, you took him out.
I'm going to go a little passive-aggressive on you here.
Yeah.
All right, hold on, Mary. There you go.
Yeah.
Your current COVID fight, Chris, is what?
Hi, Chris. Or, I mean, sorry.
Yeah, you're Chris. I'm Eric. But, you know, I can go by the name Chris if you'd like.
I used to always do that.
A lot of being in the house.
Yeah, it is about 9:20. You're right. Yeah. What's your current fight?
He gets mad at me every time I turn on the news.
Because of all the bad news and he's had enough, or he just doesn't like the newscasters?
Oh, he's had enough. He's had enough.
I got you. All right. Hold on a second. Oh, I like this. Lauren, your current COVID fight is what?
We went to the grocery store, and I asked too loudly if he had a thermometer at home.
So it wasn't so much that you asked it, it was just how loudly you asked it.
Yes, he was more upset about the fact that I said it so loudly that other people could hear it.
Right.
And that he was upset. Yeah, the tone of voice, I guess, and the loudness of it was the most aggravating part for him.
Right.
And he won't let
really?
It go.
Right.
He won't
cannot
let it go?
Believe we are wandering on Walgreens and you just announced to the whole place we're trying to get our hands on a thermometer.
Everybody in the neighborhood knows we don't know what our temperature is.
That's crazy. All right, hold on, Lauren. Hang on. Your current COVID fight, it's pure craziness, Scott.
Yeah, just as simple as getting off the couch and the cushions are wrinkly.
What?
She's mad at you for wrinkling the cushions on the couch.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like craziness. And it's her birthday today, too, so it's super COVID warning today.
Right. I'm going to be laying on the floor all day. I don't want to mess up the couch cushions because she'll go sideways on me.
Right. That'll be a nice birthday present.
You
don't get on the couch.
Them out a
That's
little.
True.
Hold on a second. Hi, Kurt. Your current COVID fight is what?
Yeah, my wife is upset that I'm going to the bathroom too much.
Oh,
come on. Who hasn't been there?
Hey, too much pooping.
You can't help going to the bathroom.
She's like, again? I can't help it. I had another meal.
Yeah. We're on rations here.
What do you want from me? And she's also mad you're spooling it out too much.
Yep. Too much toilet paper.
Yep. I don't even know why I'm saying this, Kurt, but you do sound like a guy who poops a lot. I don't even know why, but just in your voice, I hear it.
Oh, you got to slow down with that. Less flexy.
I'm one of those guys, too, Kurt, so I'm not, you know, I'm not pointing
takes
fingers
one to
really.
Know one.
Right. Right. I think it's got to be down to Lauren. I asked too loudly about a thermometer. Scott, I made the cushions get wrinkles in them. Yeah. Or Kurt, I just pooped too much.
Yeah.
Be, Whip.
I gotta go poop.
Poop too much. Violetta?
I gotta go poop.
Melissa?
It's poop.
Poop it is. You are all fantastic, by the way. Kurt, you're just pooping too much.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, less fiber. Well.
My wife says I'm full of poop.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, yeah. Aren't we all?
It's only going to be a few more long weeks of this. Three Story Thursday. Three stories, three headlines, three stories only. You pick them in the order you want them. We roll right through these. You ready?
Yes.
Three Story Thursday. I think I've got three really good headlines today. It's 9:35 now on the mix. Headline number one, pandas finally mate in Hong Kong after zoo shuttered over coronavirus.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of them? They were really cute.
Headline number two, world's largest recorded spleen removed from man in Florida.
What?
Always in Florida.
Here's your spleen.
Yeah.
Headline number three. The Amish are getting a COVID-19 drive-through testing center for horse and buggies.
Okay.
All timely.
If I may say so, I think we have to end with the panda.
Would you like the panda?
I think we have to end with the panda.
It makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of sense.
What do you think we should start with?
Amish?
The Amish? The Amish are getting COVID-19 drive-through testing center for horse and buggies, a tiny clinic in central Pennsylvania tucked in amongst the neat farmsteads covering the hills of the area, setting up a drive-through testing that's meant to accommodate a horse and buggy as well as cars. There is a big Amish and Mennonite community in the area, and thus they thought this would be a smart thing. We already have a relationship with this community, and testing is an opportunity to raise awareness about the need for isolation of vulnerable individuals. Many of the parking spots have hitching posts in the area, and the clinic was built in a traditional barn raising by the local Plain community of Amish.
Oh, wow. You know, I met a Mennonite. Mennonite once.
A who?
A Mennonite.
Yeah, rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, he was my Uber driver in Nashville, and he had so much to talk about.
Really? Very interesting guy.
Yeah, he was really cool.
Headline number two. World's largest recorded spleen removed from a man in Florida.
How big was it?
How big do you think it was? how big do you think is the world's largest spleen?
We're talking pounds here?
Pounds, yeah. Let's go pounds. How many pounds was his spleen?
100.
100 pound spleen.
Oh, no, no. I would say like...
Listen to Melissa, how dismissive she is of you.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
That's
sorry.
Okay. I don't take it personally.
Silly old
okay,
dumb whip.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm going to say 13 pounds.
13 pounds. Violetta?
I don't know what a
what do you think the Mennonite would say to that?
Well, he raised chickens.
Oh.
And barns.
I don't know what a spleen really is, how much it normally weighs.
No one really does, really.
3 pounds.
27-pound spleen.
Oh, there we go.
The largest ever recorded has been removed from a man in Florida, weighing in at 27 pounds, more than 12% of his total body weight, and 8,800% larger than your average everyday run-of-the-mill spleen.
Oh, that's a biggie. Lot.
That is a biggie. Oh,
spleens are
everybody's
small.
Fine. Everybody's okay. And finally, you know, it's fine. A couple of pandas. They're in love.
Yeah,
pandas finally mate in Hong Kong after zoo shuttered over the coronavirus.
I think they were there for years and years trying to get them to mate.
The coronavirus lockdown is just what the love doctor ordered for a pair of pandas. The Randy twosome of Ying Ying and Li Li.
Really?
We're caught on camera canoodling this week at the Hong Kong Zoo, where visitors and their prying eyes are now barred because of the bug. Maybe when you aren't being stared at by tens of thousands of hairless apes every day, you find your mojo again, observer remarked.
I just wanted some privacy.
Well, maybe that's what it was. Yeah.
Gotta be.
Quit staring
you
at us.
You gotta give them the privacy to Ying Ying and Lei Lei.
I don't want anybody watching.
I don't know what their names are. This Eric in the Morning podcast is brought to you by ComEd. ComEd safety is ComEd's number one priority. To find tips about electric safety for your home and family, visit ComEd.com/safety. ComEd powering lives.